Welcome to the Everything ECU podcast. I am your host, Carla Ward, and joining me today is Diane Cashin, a woman that is a really big deal in the world of early childhood education. Diane is a registered early childhood educator in the province of Ontario in Canada, where I'm from, and a retired ECE professor. She is the past president of the Association for Early Childhood Educators and the current coordinator of the York Region Nature Collaborative. She is also an author with her latest book just dropping on September 15th about cultivating professional friendships in early childhood education. I am so excited and honored to have Diane on the podcast today. Welcome to the show, Diane.
Thanks, Carla. Thank you for inviting me. I'm very excited to be here as well.
I am so excited. And one thing I forgot in my intro, which is how I know you, is you are a very experienced blogger.
Thank you. Yes, I started blogging, I think, in 2012, 2013. And just for the fun of it and the love of it, I find I muse a lot about early childhood education and wonder a lot. And so it's a way of putting my musings and my wonderings together in a blog, and people have found it helpful. So I continue to blog.
Oh, and I'm so grateful that you do, because even as recently as last month, I know that I used one of your blog posts on the vision of the child as a reference for something that I was doing. So definitely keep blogging. And what is the blog called?
It's called Technology-Rich Inquiry-Based Research, because when it was started, it was about using social media blogging as a tool for professional learning. So the name is, I'd like to change it, but it's too entrenched out there. And so now I'm now even exploring artificial intelligence as part of my blogging experience, just to embrace the technology aspect of it. But it really is about all things early childhood education.
I love that. And I am a huge AI fan. I have found so many ways that ChatGPT, for example, can make early childhood educators' lives easier. And I think if we lean in, it can definitely free up some time for us as educators. So I love that. So Diane, I talked a little bit about what you do, but how did you get to where you are as an educator?
Wow. My origin story, as my grandson would call it, he's a superhero fan. So my origin story is probably like a lot of people's in early childhood education. I didn't set out to be an early childhood educator. I wanted to be a high school history teacher. And I went into the education program at university, and they were laying off teachers all over the place. And there was little hope at the time, because of the declining enrollment, that I was going to get a job. So you know what I did? I got married and I had a couple of kids. And then I went, oh my God, I know nothing about having children, about raising children. And I enrolled in the ECE program at Seneca College, which was just a few minutes away from my house. And by the time I graduated, I had my third child, and I had a very supportive husband and mother who were there for me, so I can write my assignments and do the exams and whatever, my practicums, whatever was needed. And as soon as I graduated, I started working in a childcare center, eventually became the supervisor there, eventually started teaching in the evening at Seneca Con Ed, and then eventually switched over to the day program there and got a full-time job. And but I always kept close connections to the childcare community. And because in between, I also worked for the York Region District School Board as their childcare coordinator. So I made a lot of connections with early childhood educators and childcare centers and agencies. And I was involved with the Association for Early Childhood Educators of Ontario. So all of those have served, those connections have served me well, and I haven't burnt many bridges. And it's nice to come to this stage and have those relationships.
100%. Friendships are so important. And I laugh at your comment saying you haven't burned many bridges, because sometimes I like to remind people that sometimes certain bridges are worth burning.
Well, see, for me, really, the impetus for this book was a bridge that burnt. There's a lot I have learned since that I know I would have handled that relationship, that friendship. It was a professional friendship. We shared a context and shared professional interests and experiences. And it was an intense relationship, an intense friendship. And it lasted quite a long time, but it did crash and burn. And, you know, I walked around grief-stricken for quite a few years and realized, you know, how important my friends were. You know, I think you are. I think when you lose a friend, you say, wait a minute, I don't want to lose any more. So it is a topic that has been front and center in my life. I think back to everything that I have learned in early childhood education. Most of the time, I remember what I've learned from friends or with friends, shared experiences or having deep pedagogical conversations. And so it was something I thought, well, this is really we could cultivate this. It is much more accessible than mentors. It's not always easy to find a mentor as an early childhood educator. And it's not always easy to have a mentor-mentee relationship that feels empowering to both people involved. But friendship, professional friendships, accessible to everybody. And so it's something I've been thinking about, and I was encouraged to consider writing a book, and I got the a proposal together, put it in with Red Leaf Press, and it was accepted and spent a year working on it, and now it's coming out. I'm very excited.
I cannot wait to get to dig into this book, because I can relate to so much of what you've said. My greatest friendships have been with educators who I've worked alongside, because I think when you're in the classroom with somebody in the trenches, they understand so much more than people outside of the childcare world. They can try to understand, they can be empathetic, but there is something about that bond when you are working together for 9 hours a day, every day, that is, it is so precious. And when it does dissolve, it is so heartbreaking.
Absolutely. And has such impact on your relationships with other people. It's kind of like a divorce, you know, because, you know, some of your friends can choose sides. And it's interesting that you said in the trenches. I used to push back on calling ECE's frontline staff and saying, you know, we work in the trenches, because I didn't like that, the war analogy. And it really was something that I felt uncomfortable with until the pandemic. And then I went, wait a minute, early childhood educators are frontline essential workers, and they have been in the trenches. And when you know, look at that term in the trenches, it does come, I think it's from World War I, about that bond that you have with this person that was, you know, a stranger before circumstances brought you together, and how you do learn to rely on that person. You know, it's a matter of life and death, but it is the same when you're working with somebody, like you say, 9-10 hours working together. You know, you must remember walking into, you know, your classroom in the morning with a splitting headache and knowing that you couldn't call in because of ratios. And there you are, and your friend looks at you and says, okay, what's wrong? And you say, oh, I have the splitting headache. Okay, go sit in the book corner. And, you know, you're there, you're in ratio, but, you know, I'll kind of cover for you. Yeah. And then just, you know, having that opportunity and knowing your friend is there to pick up that extra work, because it's a much more difficult day for that person to you know, pick up the slack. But they do it because you know that tables are turned, you're going to do it for them. And so it is really important that we have these positive relationships, that we trust each other, that we can hold each other in confidence And that, you know, that it is doesn't dissolve into the gossip and the drama and all that other stuff that, you know, it's so hard to avoid, but it really is damaging.
Absolutely. And we've talked in the past about gossip happens. It happens, especially when you are working so closely with people in such a tight environment, and it's unavoidable. But there has to be that element of trust that you know that you can tell your teaching partner something without it leaving that room.
Absolutely. And you know what? I am not one to say that I've never gossiped in my life, because anybody that knows me would know that is a bold-faced lie. But you know, it is knowing that, you know, you can say something, you could just, you know, like even if it's, you know, like, oh, did you notice what she was wearing today? You know, like really, if you said that to somebody's face, it would be hurtful. But sometimes you just have to say, hey, did you notice it too? It's not the nicest thing to say, but it is, it's a bit of a stress relief. And you say it to somebody who you know is not going to stir up problems by running to that person and saying, well, Diane doesn't like what you're wearing today. It's just so stupid, because out of that, big issues can come up. And then, you know, someone says, oh, well, what about you? And when you came to work, with this and did that, and it just goes back and forth and causes so much really palpable stress in the classroom that the children can feel.
And every time.
We need to model friendship for children. And it's not, I talk about, you can't be everybody's friend. You know, there are people that, you just find, well, you know, this person is a good person, but I don't think we can be friends. But you can befriend, which means to act as a friend. And children should see that. They should see when somebody walks into the classroom that they're greeted with a smile and acknowledged. And you need to model for children that you value friendship, and you model the positive aspects of friendship, you know, the friendliness and the acceptance, because we want children also to cultivate their friendships, because it's the most important thing in their lives. And, you know, okay, fine, math and science and reading and writing, but it's, if you ask them, it's friendships. And early childhood educators get to be there for children's proto-friendships, which means the first friendship that they are going to have in their life. And when does it happen? It happens when they're toddlers or young preschoolers often. Well, how cool is that? And how do we support children? Because just like adults, they are going to have those times that problems come up. They're 3 years old, or they're 2.5, or, you know, they're 2. I mean, it's going to probably be over a toy or something, but they too need to learn how to navigate a friendship and what's important in keeping a friendship. And it's just really something, I think, that has been overlooked in our observations of children and in our even our inquiries that we do with children. Why not do a friendship inquiry where children can read books about friendships and learn about friendships and, you know, draw their friendships, create little scenarios about friends, because it is an important topic to them.
I am feeling so inspired right now, because you're absolutely right. And friendships are their first relationship, right? And modeling it as adults is so much how to treat somebody, but also what's acceptable to receive as a treatment. And when children can see that and also have us support that, it's incredible, because it sets them up for future success later in life on this. I deserve to be treated with respect. I deserve to be treated kindly. And I think that's such a beautiful thing that we can guide them in.
And there's so many skills you learn from starting a friendship and maintaining that friendship. And I've asked early childhood educators often, and of course, you know, they come up with sharing and turn taking. Yes, definitely. Those two come to mind. I am an early childhood educator as well. But what else? Problem solving, communication, setting boundaries. You know, there's so many skills, empathy that you learn in your relationships with others, peer-to-peer relationships. And so why not support that and help children? Because, you know, as one of the teachers of my granddaughter said, my granddaughter, met her best friend when they were in the toddler room together. They went on to the preschool room together, and they're going to graduate in another month or so and go off to a different kindergarten program. But when, you know, they've been together, the teacher once said, my daughter was picking up Reese, and Ruby, her best friend, you know, said, don't go, I need a big hug, and ran across the room and gave Reese a big hug. And my daughter, you know, just looked and smiled at the teacher and said, isn't it wonderful? And the teacher said, yeah, best friends today, frenemies tomorrow.
Oh.
And it was, it was disappointing that was said, because of course they're frenemies tomorrow, you know, because they're 3 years old. But how, you know, are you helping them as the adult in the room, as the more knowledgeable other? How are you helping them through those times that they are struggling? Because, they can learn skills. They can have an understanding about how to avoid those moments. Because how must it feel to a child, you know, to fight with their best friend?
Absolutely. And there's something about friendships in early childhood that almost makes me envious as an adult, because kids don't hold back. They will tell you how they're feeling, what you did that they didn't like, if they're guided by an educator, right? That's where we really play a big role. And I always compare my friendships that my husband has compared to mine, because I moved around a lot as a child. So I didn't form those early childhood friendships, whereas my husband met his best friend on the first day of kindergarten. And their communication, they are like brothers. And if they tick each other off, they're going to say it, and then they move on. They say it, they deal with it, they move on. I am the most passive aggressive person that there is on the face of this earth. And it is something that I've really had to learn from him, that just because you say something to a friend doesn't mean the friendship's over. And that is such a hard skill to learn as an adult.
Yes. Absolutely. And how do you work as an adult? You know, when I look back to some of the friendships that I had that didn't last, you know, okay, now if I went back, I would try this strategy, or I would do this, or I wouldn't be passive aggressive, or I wouldn't, you know, a famous reaction with, I'm not going to talk to that person anymore. Like, what? Like, what a dumb thing to do.
Totally.
When you see the person in the hall, you have to pretend they're not there. Like, you know, how uncomfortable is it for you and for them? And, you know, like, it's just, it's the worst strategy in the world. And but I had no idea how to approach it. And what did I want out of that conversation? You know, like, did I want someone to say, I'm sorry? Or did I just want to share how I was feeling? Or, you know, better still, why don't I just shut my mouth and wait a couple of days, think about it, and then forget about it?
Honestly, right? There's so many different strategies. And I laugh at the strategy about the silent treatment, because I love to talk. Silent treatment is not my strong suit. I cannot keep my mouth shut for more than 5 minutes at a time. But I had a roommate who I made so angry that she gave me the silent treatment for 8 weeks. 8 weeks. She would stare at the wall rather than walk past me. It was the most awkward thing I've ever had to deal with in my entire adult life. And I was an adult. And I was like, this is ridiculous. And I moved out. And again, it comes back to, how can we support our little ones to cultivate those friendships so that they do have the communication that we did not know at the time?
Yes. And so while we're aware of our own professional friendships, we can be aware of children's emerging friendships and cultivate those as well. We can cultivate friendships across the early childhood education ecosystem. And when we do that, we're actually engaged in a parallel process of reflection. So I'm thinking about my friends. In my book, I feature some of my friends. In each chapter, I have a featured friend, but I talk about many of my friends. And I do talk, without naming names, about the relationships that didn't go well. And, you know, so it's really important that we engage in this parallel process of reflection, because it really deepens our reflection when we can see friendships from two different perspectives. It just helps us see the topic, the concept, more deeply. And what we learn in our friendships, we can then apply to helping children with their friendships. So it's a win-win situation.
100%. And I mean, even when we were talking about like, what is friendship and sharing? Well, sharing, even there, that's an interesting friendship game, because sharing doesn't mean giving up something that you have that you're not ready to let go of. But I think that's something that I know as an 80s kid, that took me a long time to learn. Sharing is one of those things that we really have to look at how we feel about sharing as adults before we can teach that to children at all.
Well, I'm not going to let you share my phone, Carla. You know, like,
exactly.
You know, I don't care. You know, that's mine. And so there are certain things that children, you know, have that intense connection with. And you've got to look at that. You've got to look, do you have like one really special thing in the classroom that causes all these fights? Then take it out of the classroom. You know, it's hard. Sharing is hard for adults sometimes. It's hard for children, and it's overrated. So we have to look at these common issues that children have. My grandson asked me about his friendship, one of his friendships. He's 6 years old, and he knows that I've written this book about friendships. And I told him the story about the frenemy. And he says to me, well, I think I have a frenemy. And I go, really? And he goes, yes. He says, this one little boy, he always wants to be the leader. What was I going to say? So I said, you know, you can always act as a friend and play with him and be nice to him. But is that a true friend? Because a true friend is, it's reciprocal. So sometimes you can be the leader and sometimes I can be the leader. And it goes back and forth. And that's why I also think that mentorship is a difficult concept. But with professional friends, I'm more knowledgeable about something and I can be the leader on that or the mentor on that. And like, for instance, Carla, I don't know much about podcasts. And so if I wanted to start doing podcasts on my own, you would be the mentor to me. And, you know, you talk about being an 80s kid. Well, you know, that's when my children were born. So we have a huge age gap. Doesn't mean that I have all the knowledge that it can go back and forth. So with professional friendships, you know, the mentoring goes back and forth, the knowledge sharing goes back and forth, but the support and the encouragement and the love and kindness is always there. That's front and center, the love and the kindness. If you don't feel that, if you can't give that, then, you know, the relationship is not going to be successful.
Agreed. And I always think about my first adult friendship that I made. And it was my co-teacher in early childhood way back when. And I always joke that if I had not met her, I would have turned out to be the most rigid type A personality there is, because we are polar opposites. She is, I call her Mother Earth. You walk in, doing meditation. She's got the long flowy skirts with the big earrings and is just salt of the earth. There's no other word to describe her. A kindness in her heart that you just radiates out of her. And I was so rigid when I started, because when I started, it was theme-based. Like when I started years ago, I graduated 2005, and it was you have to do this and it's Apple week and we're going to do this, 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 and this. But if the children were enjoying, like she understood play long before play became this big thing. And I'm always so grateful that we cultivated that friendship to learn from each other, because I think we both benefited. And I know I certainly did. And I'm definitely a better educator because of that friendship.
Yes. Well, the story that leads my book is about Paula and Sheila, and who were the first work friends. And they met, you know, I think Sheila had come to a center and Paula had been there. And, you know, they first, you know, was like a more of a mentor-mentee relationship, but then they became friends. And it's really cool because they reunited, I think, about 30 years later. And it was at my house. And they didn't know and I didn't know. And so I got this beautiful picture of them hugging each other. And I asked them to write the story about their friendship and what it meant to them. And it leads the book, which it's so cool because that first friend that you meet, that can, you know, be like so, so powerful. And really, that gratitude that you expressed for your friend, that's what we need to do. We need to express gratitude for our professional friends. And I say, you know, all my professional friends, past, present, and future, the ones that lasted and endured and the ones that didn't, I am grateful to each and every one because I learned so much. In the end, you know, I did probably, well, for sure, I went into this book still carrying some bitterness towards the relationship that had ended. And then when I finished the book, I'm only carrying love, a deep, deep and profound love for that friend, because that friend was consequential to my development as an early childhood educator. And there was so much that we shared that was positive and beautiful that I can forget about the other stuff and just wish her well and just know that I'm just really grateful for these relationships.
I definitely needed to hear that today, because I am still definitely carrying some, let's say, resentment from a professional relationship that went south years ago. And definitely there's a lot to be grateful for, opportunities that came up with that. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. And what did you learn? You probably learned so much, right? And I used to say that to students when I was a practicum supervisor, you know, and my students were doing field placement. And they go, "Oh, Diane, it's so terrible, so terrible." And so, you know, wait a minute. The children are the children, no matter where you are. And what can you learn? You can learn what not to do. You can learn what you would do differently if, you know, the situation happened again. You can learn about yourself. And that, I'm going to work on a new blog post, Me Before We, which is about the importance of being self-aware, the importance of understanding your own self-identity in order to have a really positive and good friendship. And I do look back in the friendship that didn't last. And I did, I held back. My friend was an introvert. I'm an extrovert. So I felt, well, I knew she wanted me to hold back. She didn't want me to be as front and center as I could be and have been. And I was holding back. I go, wait a minute, this isn't me. And I used to feel that her needs were always put ahead of my needs. And I said, well, that's not working either. So when, you know, you look at your relationships, we've got to start with self and learn who you are and understand who you are and that you are a beautiful work in progress. But until you get a good sense of your own identity, you cannot enter into a friendship, because your identity is going to get sucked away, and that you are going to be seen as, like, you know, a duo, or you're going to be seen like your friend. And wait a minute, you know, we're all different.
There is so much truth to that. I need this book in my life right now. The second it comes out, I've already pre-ordered it. I hope it's in the mail as soon as it drops, because this really is a crucial topic to taking early childhood education to the next level and supporting educators. And that's who needs the support, because you need support, me as the educator, in order to be the best educator you can be.
That's right. Because if you're experiencing the trauma, the drama of, you know, relationships going south, you know, you can't be that the best you can be. And also you can't help children too, because like, again, you know, like when I gave Griffin advice about his friendship, you know, like, no, you don't go into a relationship and allow somebody to be the leader the whole time when, you know, you have ideas and you have thoughts. So, you know, like you have to, you know, establish those boundaries. Even as a six-year-old, you have to understand, you know, like who you are and what you need in a relationship. And, you know, it starts off with, yeah, I need to have a turn and I need you to share with me. But it goes much further than that in the relationships as children get older. And, you know, we just want them to be good friends. What if everybody in the world, every child in the world had that feeling of having a friend that you could trust, that held your confidence, that you could laugh with, that you could play with, that shared your interests, you know, that supported you, want the best for you. With professional friends, we can sometimes get into a competitive mode. And I think that was one of the things that happened in my relationship that I speak of too. And that's just the worst, you know, it is the worst. So you've got to be able to navigate through those things. You know, is it because your friend got a promotion and you didn't? So how are you going to navigate through that? And how do you, you know, get away from that competitiveness? Because you need to want the best for your friend. I have one friend, it's literally going on, I think, 4 decades. And we are still friends. And she called me into her office once when I was really young and inexperienced, but really, you know, a bit of a trailblazer at work. And she said, you know, I'm going to tell you something, but I'm going to tell you something because I love you and I want the best for you. You know, so I go in there like, you know, okay, what is she going to say? And then it was like, she loves me. And, you know, and she basically told me, tone down a bit, you know, go a little bit easier. Don't push so hard. You know, you've got so much to say. And I never forgot that. And she still is out there, even though we do similar work now, she's still out there, you know, beating my drum and being my champion. And that is just an amazing feeling. And I trust her 100%. And I know that she feels the same way about me. And that friendship, I never want it to end. And I will make sure it never does.
Yeah, and you know where to put your energy because you know what's worth fighting for. Yeah. And that's a beautiful thing. Oh, yeah. Diane, this has been incredible. All the links to your books where people can get it will be below, because I think that this is a game changer for our profession. So I hope that everybody grabs a copy and reflects. I mean, so many of the stories that you've shared, I can relate to in my own professional life. And I think so many of us will be able to. So thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you so much, Carla. And thank you for being my friend.
Likewise.